Job chapter number 16, I want to go there, take a text from that particular chapter. The Bible says, beginning with verse number 1, Then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things, miserable comforters are ye all. I want to take as my text these last words of verse number 2, where the Bible says, miserable comforters are ye all. Miserable comforters are ye all. And I want to preach for a little while on this subject, when friends fail. The book of Job is an interesting book. In fact, it's so much different than, for instance, Romans or 1st or 2nd Peter and other books. And this particular book is an interesting book for me to be preaching through. Over the years, I've preached or taught through, I think, 53 or 54 of the books of the Bible. But this one is so much different than others. Sometimes in my preaching, and it's a doctrinal book, I may pick out a text, God may give me a text, and there'll be so much suggestive material about it in the context. In the book of Job, it's somewhat different. There's so much opinion in the book of Job. And here, Job is expressing his concerning the three friends that he had, where he said, miserable comforters are ye all. I preached this last Sunday on the subject, the portrait of a man. And think about a man drinking iniquity like water. I believe there are people all around us that are like that, drinking iniquity like water. Now I want you to notice, beginning with verse 1 again, and I'm going to read through verse number 4. The Bible says, Then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things, miserable comforters are ye all. Shall vain words have an end, or what emboldeneth thee that thou answerest? I also could speak as ye do. If your soul were in my soul's stead, I could heap up words against you and shake mine head at you. Those three friends of Job were miserable comforters and poor counselors in this particular situation. If it had been another situation, then perhaps they could have given some good advice and some good help to Job. But at this particular time, they were really not doing very well. They were not a great help to Job. It's interesting that he used the word miserable as a descriptive word before comforters. The word miserable can have a number of meanings. We might think about, first of all, very unhappy, from grief, pain, calamity, poverty, apprehension of evil or other cause. Number 2, very poor, worthless. And number 3, causing unhappiness or misery. I believe that the three friends of Job were, as it might be said, miserable themselves. They had tried so hard to bring Job under conviction and to bring him to a point of confession, and yet they'd been frustrated as hard as they had tried, as lengthy of speeches as they had given, as eloquent as they had been, still they had not brought Job to the point of confessing that it was his fault that all these troubles had come upon him. In addition to being miserable themselves, I believe that Job, on top of being miserable because of sores being upon his body and the loss of so many things, family members and other things, in addition to all that, I believe that Job was miserable, made more miserable by those miserable comforters that kept talking to him during this time. These were the friends of Job. And I believe they were good people, but still, they were friends of Job that I think just simply added to the problem. Now we might think about the fact that they wanted to bring him to conviction and they wanted to bring him to confession. Notice, if you will, chapter number 16 and verses 16 and 17. The Bible says, My face is foul with weeping and on my eyelids is a shadow of death. Not for any injustice in mine hands. Also, my prayer is pure. And so even after all the talk that had gone on, Job still spoke as though that it wasn't because of any evil on his part, the words that are used there. The Bible says, not for any injustice in mine hands, and he claimed his prayer was pure. Now sometimes people may try to help. Sometimes people may try to counsel and they may fail. I preached earlier, I dealt with some things to avoid in trying to counsel someone. First of all, inaccurate assumptions, and I believe they were guilty of that. Irrelevancy, and I believe they were guilty of that. Inappropriate instructions, I believe they were guilty of that. And ignorantly and arrogantly counseling, I believe they were guilty on all counts. What did Job want? Well, we might ask ourselves, did Job want answers? I really don't think he expected the friends to give him answers. I really don't think he expected the friends to tell him why all of these things were happening in his life. I do think he wanted some answers from God, but of course God was silent for a time. And so I don't think it was so much answers that Job wanted from those three friends, but instead I believe that Job wanted strengthening and wanted an assuagement of his grief. Notice, if you will, in verses 5 and 6, verses 5 and 6 of chapter 16, "But I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the moving of my lips should assuage your grief. Though I speak, my grief is not assuaged, and though I forbear, what am I eased?" So you might imagine Job saying, if I was in your place, I would be trying to strengthen you, and I would be trying to give you some relief as far as your grief is concerned. The way the word assuage, we might consider it, the word assuagement, or assuage, to ease, soften, lessen, to cause to abate, to mitigate, to make less severe and painful. The word abate, you might notice that word from the book of Genesis, where the Bible talks about the floodwaters abated. And so we might think about them receding. Now, I think that Job wanted somebody to speak to him in such a way that the grief would abate, that the grief would begin to cease. And yet I believe these friends just simply put more misery upon misery. If you and I are trying to comfort someone, and by the way, that's what they had come for, that's what they had made the appointment for, was to comfort Job. If you and I are trying to comfort an individual, and it's a situation like this where we really don't have any answers, we can't say, we can't explain, I know why this is happening in your life. Now, here's two things we might consider. Ask ourselves these questions. Can I say anything that will strengthen my brother? Can I say anything that will help my brother that has fallen to get up again? Can I say anything that will help my brother that is standing, to keep on standing for the honor and glory of God? Can I give him anything that will strengthen my brother? Then number two, can I say anything that will assuage, that can ease the pain and the grief of my brother? Notice chapter 19 of Job and verse number 21. I think this is what Job wanted. "Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me." But instead of comfort, Job had received condemnation. Condemnation by his friends, trying to bring him under conviction and to confession. Is it ever right to condemn someone that is suffering? Sometimes it is. Sometimes it can be very appropriate, especially if the individual that is suffering has brought the suffering upon himself and refuses to confess his sin. Sometimes it might be good to tell an individual the reason why you're in this situation is because of some things that you have done. Now, this is not the case with Job. Sometimes it can be good to condemn an individual even as he is suffering. But you and I need to be careful, because sometimes we may load such grief upon an individual and cause such sorrow that it really is not a help in the situation. In the writing of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, remember, there was a man that was living in fornication with his father's wife. And of course, there was a condemnation of the man, and there was a breaking of fellowship with the man. But I believe that the man repented. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verses 6 through 8, sufficient to such a man is the punishment which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise you ought to rather forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore, I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. Now, sometimes it might be good to condemn an individual that is suffering, but let's be careful so that we don't speak to them in such a way they're swallowed up with sorrow. There can be the hope that a person will be restored. There can be a hope that a person, if he's not saved, be regenerated. And so, let us deal with men in hopes to bring them to Christ, to bring them to forgiveness. Now, at this particular point, it might have seemed that the friendship between these four, Job and his three friends, was strained to the breaking point. I preached early along from the book of Job on still friends. And you look all the way to the end of the book, and they were still friends. But oh, they had some hot words for each other. They said some harsh things to each other. We have a little bit recorded in here, but if you go chapter after chapter, you can see where some harsh things were said. Now, in chapter number 16, and beginning with verse number 7, I quit reading with verse number 6, but if you begin with verse number 7 and you go all the way through chapter 17 and the last verse there of that chapter, if you read through that, I think you may notice that Job really did not speak to his friends much in that section. I honestly think that there wasn't much use for him to speak to his friends much. He said what he believed. He said what he thought there at the opening. Then after that, he talked about God. He talked about his situation. But really, you don't have a whole many times in which he addresses them directly or gives a counter argument to anything that they say. I really don't think there was much use to do so. Now, Job's friends had failed him. I don't know what Job thought when he first saw them coming. And he saw them sit down and they sat there with him for 7 days without speaking a word to him. I don't know if perhaps he looked up from an ash heap with a potsherd in his hand as he'd been scraping the infection from the boils and perhaps thought maybe they'll have some words of help, something of comfort. I don't know if he had any hope of that kind, but Job's friends had failed him when it came to comforting and giving good counsel to Job. So, when friends fail. I want to speak a little bit about this idea of friendships. First of all, establish and maintain a constant friendship with God. Let no other friendship intrude upon it. Let no other friendship undermine, draw you away from that preeminent friendship that you are to have. You are to be a friend of God's. If any time you find that another friendship is drawing you away, you need to repent. And sometimes it might be that you'll need to pull away from that friendship so that you can maintain your friendship with God. The Bible says in the book of James in chapter number 2 and verse 23, Abraham was called the friend of God. The Lord used these words, Abraham, my friend. I believe that Abraham was the friend of God. And I actually think during that time that around Genesis chapter number 15, verse number 6, early along there, I really think that Abraham might have been the only friend God had on earth. I can't say that for sure. But I know something about the context, and I believe it was a very evil time. Like in the time of Noah, in which there were only the 8 that got on the ark. I think perhaps it had come to the time where God just didn't have many friends on earth. But Abraham became a friend of God. You and I are to be friends of God. The book of James in chapter number 15 and verses 14 and 15 states, I'm sorry, that's the book of John, 15 verses 14 and 15, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Now, if you want to maintain a friendship with Christ, the way to maintain that is to do what He says. It's unlike other friendships with our peers. In this case, if we want to maintain that friendship, we are to do what God says. And if we do what God says, I believe that God will tell us things that He doesn't tell just anyone else. And God will reveal things to us that are not revealed to just everyone, but those that walk close to God, those that maintain that friendship, there is an intimacy, and God will tell things to His friend that He won't tell to just anybody. It's like us having friendships and telling things to friends and confiding in friends about things we don't talk about to just everybody. And so, if you want to be a friend of God, and if you want to have that intimacy with Christ, then you are to keep His commandments. The Bible says in the book of Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. Now, in contrast to that, consider this, the friendship with the world. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter number 4, and verse 4, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And so if you're a friend of the world, if you want to have friendship with the world and live in accordance with the ways of the world, then you are an enemy with God. If you are a child of God that is just simply in some ways living in disobedience, willingly and knowingly living in disobedience, you are not going to have the relationship with God that you could have. And so the way to maintain that relationship is do what He says. When you read the Scriptures, do what He says. Now, one thing about walking with the Lord and living in accordance with the Word of God, having that friendship with the Lord, those of us that are saved have a comforter within. Now remember, I believe Job wanted comfort. I believe he wanted the easement of the grief that he had. And those of us that are saved by the grace of God have a comforter within. Sometimes we don't allow the Comforter to give us the comfort that He would. And our God is the God of all comfort, and God is certainly able to comfort us even when our friends fail to comfort us. He's able to counsel us when our friends fail to counsel us. And so you and I are to have that close relationship with the Lord so that there's that fellowship with the Lord so that we can receive the comfort that we need at any time that we need it. And so, first of all, we are to establish and maintain a friendship with God. Then secondly, be a friend to ones that you can help. Jesus Christ was called a friend of publicans and sinners. Matthew chapter number 9, verses 10 and 11. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with Him and His disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto His disciples, why eateth your Master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, He said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Now, sometimes it might be that you can help someone, and you'll need to be a friend to that person. In this case, Jesus Christ, and it wasn't Jesus Christ alone. Someone might say, well, I can understand Jesus Christ eating with sinners. He's the perfect, sinless Son of God. He would never sin. But then not only was He there, but His disciples were there as well. I believe the Lord is teaching the disciples about ministering to people and helping people. And it might be that in the position that you are in, if you are saved by the grace of God, and if you are maintaining that friendship with Christ that you ought to have, then you can help someone else. There might be a person that needs the gospel, and perhaps you can help that person. There might be a person that is fallen. And the Bible speaks in Galatians 6:1, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. But notice it said, ye that are spiritual, ye which are spiritual. Now some people don't qualify. There might be a person that's saved that does not qualify to restore one that is fallen because they are not right with God themselves. But sometimes we may find as we're living for the Lord that there are people that we can help. And we should be friends to people that we can help. And then thirdly, consider this. Keep friends that you can be mutually helpful with. I mean, it sounds like some awkward wording there. But you might think about the fact that there are many times that there are friends and we can be a help to a friend and a friend can be a help to us. We can be mutually helpful. And of course, I think probably the bulk of our friendships are made up of those kinds of friendships where there are people that the Bible talks about bearing one another's burdens. And the Bible talks about rejoicing with those that rejoice and weeping with those that weep and so on. And so you may find that there are a number of people in your life that would fall within that category of your peers. People that you can help and people that can be a help to you. Now be careful. Amnon had a friend. Amnon had a friend that gave him instructions about how to rape his sister. Now be careful about those friends. And sometimes it may be that you are maintaining a friendship that you ought not to maintain. And it might be sometimes you cannot help someone. Just to be honest with you, as a pastor, over the years, I believe over and over, I've seen people that I could not help. I might try to help them. I might give them some scripture. I might give them some instruction. But there are some people you just cannot help. Now be careful about maintaining, be careful about keeping friendships with people, close friendships with people that you cannot help and will actually drag you down. Now, in the book of Luke, in chapter 6 and verses 22 and 23, 32 and 33, the Bible says, for if ye love them which love you, what thank of ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. Now, there's a problem that I think often arises in the lives of believers, and that is that they maintain these friendships. Friendships with people that can help them and ones that they can help, back and forth, mutually helping one another. It's not necessarily wrong, but let me warn you, do not compromise in the area of these other friendships that you ought to maintain in order to keep those friendships. In other words, it might be that you want to maintain a friendship with someone. You think, I can be a help to them, they can be a help to me. And at the same time, you are pulling away from your friendship with Christ. We should never do that. It might be that you say, well, I can be a friend to them, they can be a friend to me. But you're not being a friend to people that you could be a help to. It might be that there would be someone that you could go to, you could befriend, and you could help to lead them to Christ or lead them farther in holiness. But maybe your friends don't like that person. And so as a result of that, you may fail to befriend someone that you could actually be a help to. I thought about Peter. Remember Peter? And when it came to the eating, and he separated himself from the Gentiles, when actually he could have been a help to the Apostle Paul rebuked him to his face for it. He needed to be a help to those people. But if we're not careful, the bulk of our friendships can be this kind of friendship. We love those that love us. And we do for those that can do for us. And we like this mutual, this giving back and forth. And it's not necessarily wrong, but I think sometimes we overemphasize that kind of friendship, and at the same time we're compromising and not fulfilling the other friendships that we should have. It can be so much more comfortable to be with those that are like us, those that will do for us and us do for them and back and forth. That can be a very comfortable situation to be in. If you're going to maintain a friendship with God, sometimes He can put you in some uncomfortable situations. If you're going to have a friendship where you befriend someone because you think you can help them, that can put you in some uncomfortable situations. Then, last of all, I want you to consider this. We're not only to be friends with God, establish and maintain a friendship with God, and be friends to those that we can help and have those mutual friendships. And this is one area where I think sometimes where we fail. Make friends of people that can help you. Now, I especially mean spiritually. I know in some circles, people may advise you, yeah, go to that church, join that church. Rub shoulders with those people because those people can help you up the business ladder. Those people can help you financially. Those people can help you this way or that way. And I realize that sometimes we may get help from someone. For instance, you might make a friendship with someone because they know the trade that you work at better than you do. And perhaps they can be a help to you. But I especially want to focus on this area of spiritual friendship. Make friends of people that can help you. I was talking about uncomfortable situations. And I think sometimes it can put you in an uncomfortable situation when you're with someone that is really better than you are. I think sometimes people go to a church where at that church, then they are one of the better people in the church. And it's a very comfortable situation to be in if you're one of the better people in the church. And people may come to you and ask you advice, ask you instructions and so on. And I think some people, they wouldn't want to go to a church where actually they were not one of the better ones, but instead there were so many people there that were better than them and could help them to go farther with Christ. I think sometimes people settle into a church because they're comfortable. Not because they're fed from the Word of God. Not because they're challenged to live more like Christ. But because it's a comfortable place to be. We should be making friends with people that are better than us. The Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter number 3, verse 17, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample." In that case, I believe Paul was better. Paul was an example. And those that walked the same way as the Apostle Paul were examples. And those people were to follow him as he followed Christ. Now, the closer you get to Christ, the faster you run in this race, the higher you go on the mount, you may find that there are fewer people that can be your example. But still, seek for those that can be a help to you. Seek for those that, for instance, have got a better prayer life than you do. Seek for those that are better as far as the knowledge of the Word of God, better than you are. Seek for those that are better at winning people to Christ than you are. Try to find some people that are better than you are to help you to be better. Now, my great goal in life is not to be as good as brother so-and-so. And yet, if brother so-and-so is ahead of me in the race, And if it'll help me to be more like Christ, if I speed up to run with Him, then that can be a good thing. It doesn't mean that just because I caught up with brother so-and-so, now I can relax and run at this pace. But still, if it'll help me to be more like Christ, I think it'd be good to find somebody better than I am, farther ahead than I am, run to keep up with them, and then go on farther, always, always keeping the eye on Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. When friends fail, you may find oftentimes in life that friends do fail, but thank the Lord, God shall never fail us. He's the faithful friend. Don't make a friend just to confirm your stance. Here's one of the things I think can happen is that people have friends that agree with them and therefore they rise no higher because they pass ideas back and forth where they compare themselves to themselves and they commend themselves and they confirm one another's beliefs, and that's as far as they go. Right there they stop. There's a saying, any old dead fish can float downstream. It takes a struggle just to stay where you are spiritually. And then if you're going to move ahead, it'll only be by the grace of God that you do so. But one of the things that might be a help to you is to find someone that's better than you are. And there might be several that are better than you are in areas that you can learn from. That'll help you to be more like Jesus Christ. Never compromise your friendship with God in order to establish or maintain any of these other friendships. Never. Never. We had that song this morning. Let me give you just a little portion of it. A friend when other friendships cease. A friend when others fail. A friend who gives me joy and peace. A friend who will prevail. Friendship with Jesus. Fellowship divine. Oh, what blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine. Thank God for that. Jesus is a friend of mine. Now, if you don't have a close relationship with the Lord, then you need to have that. We can talk about these other friendships, really. A starting point is to have a friendship with the Lord. Never been saved, of course, the way to start is to repent, trust the Lord, get saved by the grace of God, and then do what the Lord tells you to do. You're never going to have a close walk with God. People may talk spiritually when actually they're living carnally. Because they're really not doing what God tells them to do. You'll never maintain a close relationship with Christ unless you're doing what He says. And it may not always make you comfortable. Look at the disciples. Oh, I think they had some uncomfortable times. Close to Jesus, and then Jesus would say something. Oh, I'd get under the skin. He would put them under conviction, but he was always right in everything he said. If you will, please stand.